Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yotess. We begin at the very top of Yotess Amud Aleph with the beginning of the Gemara. Yesterday we went through the Mishnah. We won't repeat it because we'll repeat the parts that are essential for us to learn as we go through the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off and says that our Mishnah tells us that the Kohen Gadol was taken to the Lishkas Beis Avtinas. So the Gemara asks, why? Tana. So the Gemara answers, L'lamdo Chafina. That's the place where, as we mentioned, the Lishka of Avtinas, the Avtinas family, were the ones that were expert in making the Ketores. And therefore, that would be the best place for the Kohen Gadol to learn the most difficult Avodah. We called it an Avodah Kasha for the Yom Kippur service, which was the taking of the handful of the Ketores, while he had to do this with two hands and at the same time hold the cup. So this is a complicated Avodah, which we'll learn about later on in the Gemara, not today. Amar Rapapa continues and he says, Shtei Lishkos Hayolo Kohen Gadol. There were two Lishkos that the Kohen Gadol would go to. One was on the north and one was on the south, as we'll see. And ultimately, the Gemara will say the purpose of having these two Lishkos was to specifically make the Kohen Gadol have to walk all the way across from the north to the south of the Azara in order to make sure that he was appropriately subdued and humbled, and that if this was a person who wasn't roy to do the avodah, he would maybe have second thoughts and say, this is too difficult for me, I don't want to do this. In any event, we start off and tell us that there were the shtei lishkos hayul kohen gadol. Kohen gadol had two lishkos that he would stay in, two chambers that he would go to. One was called the lishkas achas lishkas parhedrin, which we had discussed previously, and the achas lishkas beis avtinas, and also the lishkas avtinas, which we had discussed in yesterday's Mishnah, and right now at the beginning of this year. One of them was located Achaz B'Tzafon, on the northern side of the Azara, the Achaz B'Darbin. The other one was located on the southern side of the Azara. Now, Achaz B'Tzafon, the one that was on the northern side, we learned from a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah of Idos. Sheish Lishko Soyub Azara. This Mishnah tells us that there were six chambers in the Azara. Now, literally, this actually is talking about the Ezras Yisro. If you remember, we discussed the other day that as you enter through the Ezras Noshim into the Ezras Anoshim, you went up through the Shir Hamalos and through Shar Niknor, you entered into the first 11 Amos of the Azara, and that was called the Ezras Yisro. And on the northern side, and as we'll see on the southern side, there were three chambers at each end. So there were six, this Mishnah Midos tells us, Sheish Lishkos Hayu Bezara, Shalosh Besofo, Shalosh Vedarm, three on the north and three on the south. Shebidorom, now there are different girsos here. There are some of the girsos that switch around what was on the north to the south and what was on the south to the north. We'll just leave the girsos the way we have it. So it tells us Shebidorom starts off with the three on the southern aspect. Now, this is on the most eastern aspect of the Azara. Again, the 11 Amos of the Ezras Yisra was most eastern of the Azara area. And it tells us Shebidorom, the Lishkos that were on the southern side were Lishkas HaMelach, Lishkas HaParva, and Lishkas HaMadichim. These three chambers were found there on the southern side. Now, we'll explain what these three chambers were. The most eastern of these three chambers, southeast, was Lishkas HaMelach. So that was the first chamber as you're going from east to west in the 11 Amos of the Azara. And what did they do in this Lishkas HaMelach? Shamah Yunos HaMelach LaKarban. That was the place where they used to put any salt that was needed for the korbanos. That's where they took it from. That was a storehouse for the salt. All the korbanos needed to have salt on them, as the pasuk says, "The kol korban minchoscha b'melach timlach." Tosus Menachos says it was also not only used for the tzoruch of the korbanos, but also l'mlichas oroseim. They also used this salt for tanning of the hides, which actually explains why the next chamber is right next to it, and the next chamber is the lishkas haparva. Shesham hayu molichim oros kachim. So it was very convenient to have the salt storage area right next to the area where they would go and salt the hides. Why was this called the Lishkas Parva? So we're going to learn in the Gemara in Daf Lamed Hey that Rav Yosef will tell us that Parva was an Amgusha. It was a certain type of magician. And the Gemara there will discuss why specifically this chamber was named after him. But we'll just quickly say that it was built possibly Sheparva Hushem Shel Mechashiv Echo Shebono Lishka Zu. He was the one that built this Lishka, and therefore it was called after his name. The Rosh points out there that he obviously was Jewish, because a non-Jewish person would not be allowed to go and build on the Har HaBayis. Others, such as the Rambam and the Ritva, explain Mechashev over here differently, the Samgusha differently, and say that he was a one who dug tunnels. And therefore, this person tried to dig a tunnel underneath it to see the avoda of the Kohen Gadol. He was found out, and he was subsequently killed. And they therefore named this Lishka after him to remind people of this terrible Isser. Others say that Parva comes from the Lashon of Parim, that they used to go and tan the hides of the Parim over there, and that's why it was called Parva. In any event, we'll learn more about this when we get to Daf Lamed Hey. Our Gemara continues and says, V'al gaga, on the top of this lishka, ha'isa beis tefillah, there was a mikvah, l'koyin gadol b'yom kippur, that the koyin gadol would use on Yom Kippur. Again, we'll learn more about this, if Yetz Hashem, as we discuss more of the immersions of the Kohen Gadol. He had 5 immersions in a mikvah, and 10 times he had to wash his hands and feet, which we'll learn about as part of the great avoda of the day. Rashi tells us, how did the water get up there? So Rashi explains, the Dibra Maskel Agaga, Hoya Besa Tefillah, that was the mikvah up there, and it came, Mei Mayan Hayubon Lashon Beruma, that the water was under pressure and was able to go up there from a spring, and that's how the water got up there. Others have the gears of here, not Beruma, but have the gears in Rashi that says Bo'ama instead of word Beruma, and that it came from the Ama, the water that went through the Azara. In any event, we continue. Finally, the third chamber over there was Lishkas HaMedichin. The most western of these 3 chambers was the Lishkas HaMedichin. What did they do over there? Shami Medichin Kirbe Kachim. That's where they rinsed out the innards of the Kachim. Umisham Mesiba Ola Legag Besa Parva. And there was also a staircase up there to go up to the top on the rooftop of the Parva, which had the mikvah. Now, why did they have to go and rinse the Kirbe Kachim over there? Weren't there Shulchanos, which we learned previously, that they rinsed the Karbanos on those Shulchanos? So there's 2 different types of rinsing that they did. One was the general rinsing of the basar to get rid of any extra waste or excrement or other detritus that was over there. But here you're talking about the innards, they're talking about the intestines, that had a tremendous amount of excrement inside of them, so they didn't want to have in the Azara, so that they put in this Lishka to go and flush out the Kirbayim, the Me'ayim, to get rid of the excrement before it went up to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. So this was an area where they had the larger amount, if you wish, of rinsing, and on the Shulchanos there was a lesser amount of rinsing, it wasn't as dirty. So those were the 3 chambers that were on the southern side, according to gears that we have. Opposite that, on the northern side, on the northeastern area, again, parallel right across the 11 Amos of the Azara, on the northern side of the Ezra's Yisrael, Shalosh Shevet Zafon, they were called the Lishkas Ha'etz, Lishkas Ha'gola, and Lishkas Ha'gozes. What were these 3 chambers? So the first one that we describe is the Lishkas Ha'etz. Now, this was actually the most western of these 3 gates, although it was equal. Here the setup wasn't 1, 2, 3 going from east to west, but here you had the Lishkas Ha'etz, which is also known as the Lishkas Parhedrin, as we'll see, and Lishkas Hagola. So these 2 were actually in a north-south orientation. Both of them were a little bit west of the last Lishka, which was the Lishkas Hagozis, which was the most eastern. There are wonderful diagrams of this that you can see in the art scroll. If you're looking for a beautiful 3-dimensional diagrams of this, you can look in the Masifta Gemara on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, in the first Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. Now, in any event, these chambers were the following. The Lishkas Ha'etz, the Gemara tells us, also known as the Lishkas Parhedrin, so Amar Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, Shachachti Ma'isu Meshameshes. I don't remember what its purpose was. Again, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov was the author of the Mishnah Yisimidus, as we pointed out previously, and that's why it says that he doesn't know. Otherwise, why would we care that he doesn't know? He's the author of these Mishnahis, and therefore, he says, I don't know what this one was. And again, Abishol helps us out over here. When Elezer says, Shachachti Ma'isu Meshameshes, Abishol Omer, Lishkas Kohen Gadol. This was the place where the Kohen Gadol would say, this was the Lishkas Parhedrin that we referred to previously. Now, that was the first of these 2 chambers that were right next to each other in a north-south orientation, both a little bit to the west of the third Lishka, which we said was the Lishkas Hagozes. Now, Hoysa Achorei Shtehem, the Lishkas Kohen Gadol was behind the other 2, meaning that it was actually northern of the Lishkas Hagola, and it was parallel somewhat to the Lishkas Hagozes, and the Gag Shloshon Shavah. However, the roof of all 3 of them were exactly the same level, so neither one was higher than the other. The Ravid explains that this Lishkas Ha'etz was known as Lishkas Ha'etz because it was made out of wood. Albeit the Tosus Yontif disagrees, based upon a Rambam, and he says you can't make it out of this type of wood. And he explains, though, that the reason why it was called Lishkas Ha'etz, if it wasn't a Lishka made out of wood, was because the Kohen Gadol stayed in this place, and it was mutter for him lishtamesh b'chli eitz, v'sheinu domel ha'forshosu shel ha'kohen ha'service ha'para, where there we said he had to use b'davka kli evin, because of all the stringencies that we have for the Kohen that was served the parah duma, so he was mufresh for 7 days. He wasn't allowed to use wooden utensils, so here b'davka, they were allowed to use wooden utensils. That's why it was called the Lishkas Ha'etz. that the very Sola Mishnayis says it was specifically called the Lishkas Eitz to be merames, to signal to us that if the Kohen Gadol didn't do everything properly, so he would be like wood that would rot. And that's why it was a reminder, Lishkas Eitz. In any event, this Lishka was behind the others, was more north than the other chamber. And the Gag Shloshim Shavu, we said, and then you had the Lishkas HaGola that was somewhat south of the Lishkas HaEitz, this Lishkas Parhedrin. And what was the purpose of that Lishka? Shamaya Bar HaGola, that was where they had a cistern, a bar, that was for the people that came up from Golus. Ba'Galgal Nosun Olav, it had a wheel, a pulley system over there, that they would go and take the water, Mishon Maspikin Maim L'Holazar, and that's where they would bring water up from this bar to the entire Ezar. And then finally, the most eastern chamber there, the northeast chamber, was Lishkas HaGozis. This is a famous chamber, Shamayu HaSanhedrin Shal Yisrael, Yoshevez V'Donas HaKohanim. The Lishka was where the Sanhedrin stayed. That was the Supreme Court chamber, and that's where the great Sanhedrin, the Ayin 1 Sanhedrin, would stay in Paskin Shilas. And one of the Shilas at the Paskin was Umi Shinim Sabo Psul. They would go and check out the lineages of the Kohanim, as well as check out to see if they had a mum that would possible them from being able to do the Avoda. And any Kohen that wasn't allowed to do the Avoda, Hayalove Shchorim, he would dress up in black, Umisate Shchorim, and cover himself up with black Viyotza, and he had to leave, Vahalachlo, and he would leave the area of the Azara. The Farshim point out, it depends what type of psul they had. If it was a psul in his lineage, then he wasn't a Kohen, so then he had to leave totally. If it was a mum, so then he would go to the chamber that we had learned previously, where they kept the wood in the Ezras Noshim, and he would go be Maslia the wood. He would go and deworm the wood. So he was able to work, and he was still a Kashra Kohen, albeit not able to do the Avoda. However, those Kohanim that were found to be Kashra, Shalodim Sabapsul, they were Erlicha, good lineage, as well as no Mum Kohen. Hayalovesh Levonim, they would wear white. Umisativ Levonim, they would put the hoods over their heads. They would wrap their heads up in these white garments, Venichnas, and they would enter into the Beis HaMikdosh, Umishamish HaMechobako, and they would declare it to be valid Kohanim. Now, Rapapa continues his discussion, Achaz B'Dorom. At the beginning of the discussion, we said one of the Kohen Gadol's chambers was on the south, and one of the Kohen Gadol's chambers was on the north. So the Achaz B'Dorom Rapapa tells us that none. This is another Mishnah that we have in Midos, where it says, Shiva Sha'arim Hayu Bazara. There were seven entranceways, gateways into the Azara. We had a machlokas about this previously in Shkalim as well. There was a sheet that said there were 13. This works with the opinion of the Mishnah in Midos that there were seven. Shloshav at Tzafon, three were on the northern side. Shloshav at Darim, three were on the southern side. Yechav at Mizrach, and one was on the Mizrach side. There were some other minor gateways that aren't listed over here, which aren't as important or as significant, and that's why this only lists seven. Shevedarom, those three Sharim on the southern side were Sharad Leika. Now, we here begin in the most western of the three gates. So this would be the southwesternmost gate that was known as the Shara Dleika, and Sheni Lo Shara Karban, and the second one to that, according to the gear that we have, is the Shara Karban. And Rashi explains, we don't know what the purpose of these two gates are, Shara Dleika and Shara Karban. Lo Yadati Lominik Rosh Mom Kach. Rashi says, I don't know why they were called these names. Now, there is a gear that says it shouldn't be Shara Karban, it should be Shara Bechoros, and that's the gate where the people who were bringing a Karban Bechor would go and bring their Bechor through that gate. The Rosh explains that the Shar Hadlaka was the gate that they would bring the wood in for the Marocha, for the top of the Mizbeach, and that's why it was called the Shar Hadlaka. Others disagree with this. The Rabbeinu Eliyakim and the Tosfos Shonim, they say no, this is the Shar, the gateway, that they would bring in the fire that they would put up on top of the Mizbeach. Even though the fire came down from Shemayim, nevertheless, there was a mitzvah that they also added to that fire, and this was the gate where they would bring the fire in from. As it says, V'nostu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen, eish al ha-Mizbeach. There are different girsos over here. There are those that call this the Shar Hadelik, not the Shar Hadleika. And again, in the Mishnayis and Talmud, there are those that say that there weren't seven Sharim over here, there were only five Sharim, others say eight Sharim, and then again, we had a previous Mishnah where we discussed in Shkalim that there were 13 Sharim. In any event, we continue. What was the next Shar? This was the most eastern of the three Sharim. Shlishi lo Shar HaMayim. This was the Shar HaMayim. This was the gate where they would go bring for the Nisuch HaMayim the water through this gate. This was the one that was closest to the Mizbeach, and that's why that's where the Nisach HaMayim went, so that's why this gate was located here. When we learned the Mishnayis and Shkalim, we had also that in the future, this would be the gate that water will come out of the Beis HaMikdash. We have the famous Nevuah from Yecheskel, and this would be the gate that the water will come out of the Beis HaMikdash and go further and expand much beyond that. So this is called the Shar HaMayim. Those are the three gates on the south. Shebe Mizrach, Shar Niknar. The main gate coming in through the Azara on the eastern side as you're going from east to west. That was the famous Shar Niknar. We're going to learn later on in the Gemara the phenomenal nace that occurred with Niknar, that he brought these boards all the way from Mitzrayim, and there was a storm, and he had to throw one of the gates overboard because the storm was raging. He refused to throw the other gate overboard, and then when they finally reached the port in Eretz Yisrael, so miraculously, the gate that he had thrown overboard had traveled along with them. These gates were kept there. They were very beautiful. They were shiny. And this is the Shar Niknar. And then, Ushtei Lishkos HaYusham, there were two little chambers, one to the right, one to the left. In other words, one more north and one more south of Shar Niknar. Aspi and Mino, that would be the one that was more north. Viachas Bismolo, that would be the one that would be more south. And these had names to them as well. Achash Lishkos Pinchas Malabesh. One of them was known as the place where Pinchas would clothe the Kohanim. That's where they kept all the clothing for the Kohanim. Made sure that they were dressed properly in the Big Day Kahuna. He was the first one, as we learned in Shkalim. These Lishkos, or these activities, were named after the first or the most important one that did them. That's why it's called the Lishkas Pinchas of Alabish. And the other one, the one on the south, the Achas Lishkas Osei Chavit, and that's the place where they made the Minchas Chinuch for all the Kohanim, as well as the Chavit for the Kohen Gadol. Every morning, in the morning and in the afternoon, the Kohen Gadol had to bring a Minchas Chavit. So this was the place where they made those. Now, we go north. Shebet Sofon, Shar Nitzos. This is, again, starting from the west, so the most northwestern gate was the Shar Nitzos. This was either named that way because the sun shone in over there in a certain way that was very bright, or because they kept coals over there that they would be able to go and put up on the Mizbeach to light the Mizbeach from this chamber if the additional fire needed to be put on the Mizbeach. Again, you can see beautiful three-dimensional diagrams of many of these structures. If you look in the Masifta, here you can see them on page Yutes Amud Aleph Gimel, the third Yutes Amud Aleph page that they have. Now, this Shar Nitzos was like a structure, Ubinyan Achsadraya, was like a portico structure that you had two walls coming out surrounding this gateway, going out beyond the Azara, on the other side of the Azara. So it was like a porch area. V'aliyah v'nuya lo al gabav, and on top of this achsadra, there was some sort of like an attic area, a second floor, and in that place, v'sham kohanim shomim milamala u'levim milamata, the kohanim would stand guard. It was an honor guard on the top, and the levim would be below that. Now, next we have the words v'shalafdim himenu hachel, which the Bach tells us that we should delete. Bach says instead the word should be u'pesach. This was the area that would open up, according to the opinion that said the Chel surrounded the entire Azara, not just on the eastern side. So this would be the area of the Chel, which we said was an area that was in between the Azara and the Soreg, which was a lattice-like fence that went around the outside area, which was the perimeter up to which a non-Jewish person was allowed to enter. And you can see diagrams of this on the Masifta, three-dimensional diagrams on Daf Yotes Amud Aleph, Daf Dalet, the fourth Daf for Yutes Amud Aleph. In any event, next to that gate, eastern, was Sheni Lo Shar HaKorban. That was the Shar HaKorban. This is called the Shar HaKorban because all the Kodesh HaKodashim that were brought into the Azara, they had to be shechted on the northern side, and therefore this was a northern gateway, and they would bring the Kodesh HaKodashim Korbanos through this gate. And finally, the most eastern of these three gates was Shlishi Lo Shar Beis Hamokah. This was the Shar for the Beis Hamokah. We had discussed the Beis Hamokah previously in Shiurim, and it's not discussed anymore over here. Now, the bottom line is that we can see from this Mishnah that the Shar Hamayim Hoya B'Dorom. Now, why is that important? So we learn in the Braisa of Itanya, Chomesh Tvilos V'Asore Kiddushin Tovel Kohen Gadol U'Mekadish Bobo Yom. There were five Tvilos that the Kohen Gadol had to do on the day of Yom Kippur, and he had to wash his hands and his feet 10 times, once before and once after every tefillah, as we'll learn more about this. And the kulon bakodesh, all of them had to be in the Azara, which was al-gag beis ha-parva, that was on the mikvah that was on the top of the beis ha-parva, which we had said, remember, there was a mesiba that went up to it, this pathway, this stairway that went up to it. Chutz mizu, except for the first one, which since he wasn't yet toveled in the mikvah, he couldn't be inside the Azara. And this mikvah was Shoyisa Bachol, it was outside the Azara, al gabi shar hamayim, that was on the top of the shar hamayim, which we said was on the southern side. So this is the proof that this was on the southern side. And then ubitzad lishkasa hoisa, and the Kohen Gadol's chamber was right next to that on the southern side. And in addition, he had the chamber on the northern side. So here we see we had one chamber for the Kohen Gadol on the southern side and one chamber on the northern side. Now, Rav Papa continues and he says, V'lo yadana, I don't know, ilishkas parhedrin batzalfon, ilishkas besavtinas bedarum, or vice versa, ilishkas besavtinas batzalfon, ilishkas parhedrin bedarum. I mentioned before, there are different gersos over here, so he wasn't sure. He knew one was on the southern side, one was on the northern side. He didn't know which one was which. So let's figure out which one is which. He says, Mistavra, it makes sense, the Lishkas Parhedrin Badorum Havoy. He wants to suggest that the Lishkas Parhedrin, which we said was also known as the Lishkas Eis, was on the southern side. My time, why? Because let's go through the Seder Yom the Kohen Gadol. If he was staying, in fact, in the chamber that he slept in was the Parhedrin chamber, which we're saying now is on the southern side, that the Lishkas Parhedrin is Badorum, so he'd get up in the morning, that's where he slept, Mekadem Koi, he would get up, Umesach Esraglo V'tovil, he would go and cover up his feet and then go to the mikvah. Covering up his feet is a euphemism for going to the bathroom. The Gemara later on is going to say that a tsnua way to go to the bathroom is that you keep your body covered. So therefore, he would cover up his feet with his clothing as he lowered his pants in order to go to the bathroom to defecate. So therefore, that's called Mesach Esraglo V'tovil. And then afterwards, he would go to the mikvah. Now, this mikvah was on the southern side, next to the Lishkas Parhedrin. For Ozil Latzofa, then he had to travel all the way across the Azara to the northern side, the Gomer Chafina. That's where the Lishkas Beis Avtinas was, and he would learn how to do the Chafinas Ktaris, how to do this difficult Avodah Kosha. And then, and then he would travel back to the middle of the Beis HaMikdash, where we do all the various avodas of the day, like we said. And then, before he would go to sleep at night, before he would turn in, they would go and sprinkle the Paraduma waters on him. This was according to the opinion that we brought down the second answer. How could we say that we go and sprinkle the Paraduma on the coin every day? Because if the Paraduma waters make you the person who's tar, tame, so then he was tar, so if they sprinkle on him, he would become tame for that day. How would they do this? So we had answered, Rabbi Kiva explained that they did this at the end of the day, right before he would retire from the Beis HaMikdash. After he did all the avodas, then they would sprinkle on him. He would then go to the mikvah and have Harav Shemesh, and then he would be tar the next day. So that was no problem. So that's what they did. And then, after he had the sprinkling of the Paraduma waters on him, and then he would go to sleep. He would go, after he went to the mikvah, he'd have Harishemesh and Vinoyach, he would go to sleep, and he would go back to the Parhedrin chamber. He had to walk all the way back across to the southern gate. Now, the Amos Lishkas Parhedrin, but so often, if you're going to tell me the Lishkas Parhedrin was on the northern side, Mekadei Mekoyu Mesach Raglav, so he would have to get up early in the morning on the northern side, get up and go to the bathroom, then he'd have to go all the way to the southern side and be tovel over there and do the chafina sektores. So and then work in the Beis HaMikdash all day long, then they would go and put the paraduma waters on him at the end of the day, he'd have to go all the way back across and be tovel again, then he'd have to go back the other way and lie down. If you don't have it starting off in the south, you have him starting off in the north, then he's going back and forth too many times, and it would be too difficult, and that's why it makes sense to say that Lishkas Parhedrin was on the Dorim to minimize the amount that the Kohen Gadol had to walk. We don't want to tire him out. So Gemara says, Mo, exactly the opposite. Pum fakar. Alo, why wouldn't we want to tire him out? Matruchinan le tvei. We want to tire him out a lot, because if he's a tzduki, the tzduki, who, if this person, Kohen Gadol, is not really a good person, he's going to say, I don't need this. This is too much work. This is too much triach for me. And Lifrosh, he won't want to do the avoda, and they can replace him with a appropriate Kohen Gadol. Alternatively, Inami, even if he wasn't a tzduki, if he was a regular prushi, he was a good Kohen Gadol. Nevertheless, this back and forth walking, shalot tazuch, daitulav, he won't become arrogant. He won't say, oh, look at me, I'm so important. No, he's going to say, listen, I'm going back and forth, they're obviously not treating me with great dignity because I'm not such a chush of a person. I have to go back and forth, and therefore he won't become an arrogant person because of this. And in fact, the Gemara says, this is Mestama right. Because if you're not going to say this, so then, so then why do we need the chambers on the opposite side? instead of having one chamber on the south, the one chamber on the north, put them both on the southern side. Or alternatively, inami tiskele b'chodah, just have him have one chamber, the same chamber that he sleeps in, it could be the same chamber that they teach him due to chafinas haktoris. So therefore, there obviously is a purpose in having two chambers on the opposite side. It bedafke is to be matriachim, and therefore, that is the correct way to understand this. Now we go back and quote the Mishnah. It says, "Amrlo ishi kohen gadol." So the Beis Din appointees, the shluchim from the Beis Din, have to tell the kohen gadol, "We are the shluchim of the Beis Din, and you are our shliach, and you are also the shliach of the Beis Din." And we'll continue discussing the rest of the Mishnah later on. Now let's discuss this over here. So the Gemara starts off and says, "Leim lotevi tiyufta the Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua." This seems to go against what Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua said. What did Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua say? The Amr Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua. Hani kahani shluchei derachmanin inu, that the kohanim, when they're doing the avodah, they aren't acting as the shluchim of the people or of the Beis Din, but they're acting as the shluchim, so to say, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the nafkamina, the Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua said that this, the kohanim are the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not the shluchim of Klai Yisrael, is because the i'am is shluchei didaninu, because if you to say that the kohanim are acting as our shluchim, then you have a problem. And we turn to the Amud Beis, you test Amud Beis. Mi ika midi, is there any such thing that danan lo motzino lemevat, that we're unable to do ourselves, ushluche didan, matsuavde, but my shliach can do it. Now, if I'm not a Kohen, I can't do the avoda. So how could I have a Kohen be my shliach and do the avoda on my behalf? Because if I can't do it, my shliach can't do it. So that's what Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua said. So therefore, they must be the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But our Mishnah seems to say that no, that the Kohen Gadol was the shliach of Klai Yisrael. So Gemara says, no, Hochi Karmelei. This is what they said to the Kohen Gadol. Mashbin Anu Alecha, we are making you swear that you're going to do the avoda properly. Al Datenu, V'al Das Beis Din. That's what, not that you're our shaliach, but you're doing this with our understanding. And you can't go in and say that you're doing it with your understanding. You have to do it the way the Torah says you have to do this. Then the Mishnah continues and is quoted, Hu Poreshu Boche, V'hein Poreshu Boche, V'chule. Everybody's crying and upset. But they've come and sunk to such a low point that they have to basically accuse the Kohen Gadol of possibly not doing it the right way. So swear to us that you're going to do it the right way. So Gemara says, why do they each turn aside and cry? So who? Parishu Boche, the Kohen Gadol, he turns aside and he cries, Shechashdu Tztuki, that they're suspecting me of being a Tztuki. Nebuch, we've sunk to such a low level that they think the Kohen Gadol is a Tztuki. The Haim Parishu Bochen and the Shluchim of the Beis Din, they turn aside and they cry because Damar Shuvan Levi, Kalachoshe Bikshevim, anybody that suspects an erlich person, an innocent person of doing something, should be loke begufo. He gets lashes, he gets punished because you're not allowed to be choshesh b'ksherim. How can you go suspect a kosher person? Here's the Kohen Gadol. How you dare suspecting him? So each side was very sad that they had sunk to such a low level that the Kohen Gadol says, you're suspecting me of not being an erlich Kohen Gadol, and the shluchim that they had to go and potentially like accuse the Kohen Gadol of not being an erlich Kohen. The Gemara says, v'kol kach lama. So why do they do all this? So the answer is, Shlo yisake mibayim v'chutz v'yachlis. In other words, there was a real concern in the Bayi Sheni that the Kohen Gadol was at Stuki, and that they would light the incense, they would burn the Ktores before they went into Lufnai v'lufnim, which is Keneged Hadin, and therefore, in order to make sure that this part of the Avoda was not done improperly, so they made him swear that he would do it properly. Shlo yisake mibchutz v'yachlis. He shouldn't light the Ktores before he enters Lufnai v'lufnim, kederech shat stukim osim, like the stukim would do. And now we have a Maisa Shahaya, that one Stuki just did this. He was very, very happy that he did this, and he got his punishment. Tana Rabban, we're learning a Braisa. Maisa bit Stuki Echad. There once was a certain Stuki. She hiskin mi bachutz vichnis, that when he did the Avoda of the Ktores, before he went to Lufnai v'Lufnim, he lit the Ktores there, which is not allowed to be done, and then he went inside. She hiskin mi bachutz vichnis. He went in with the Ktores already burning. Now, when he came out, Bitsyoso, he finished doing the avoda, Hayosameach Simcha Gedola. He was ecstatic. He was very, very happy. And he met up with his father, Pagabo Aviv, Amarlo. His father said to him, wait a second, Bini, Afal Bishit Stukim Anu, even though we're Tstukim, and we're very happy that you did this in the incorrect manner, that the Tstukim felt was appropriate. Nevertheless, Miss Yarin Anu Mina Prushim, we're afraid of the Prushim. Don't go and make a big public display about this, because they're ones that are really in charge over here, not us, and you're going to get yourself into trouble. So his son tells him, Amalo, he says, no, call your mind, you see me star, let me quiz it. All my life I was worried about this pasuk. The pasuk says, ki be'onon, eroa ala kaporis. So you have to go in with the cloud when you see the kaporis, when you see the aron. Now, there really wasn't an aron in the Bayesheni, it was the area of the aron. In any event, he says, Amarti, this stuki, the son, who's the Kohen Gadol, said, Mosai Yovo Liyodi, when it will be my chance, who come to my hands, the opportunity, Vakaimenu, and I will fill the pasuk the way we tzdukim say, which is, of course, incorrect. So, Achshav Shabo Liyodi, now that I've had the opportunity to be the Kohen Gadol and do this avodah, Lo Akamenu, I shouldn't go and fulfill it with great fanfare. So, Amru, so the Gemara continues and says, it wasn't a long time until this Kohen Gadol died and then ended up discarded in a garbage dump, in an ashpa. And there were worms, the worms went out of his nose. Everybody discusses why Bedavka's nose, so his nose were the ones that either smelled the reach of the ketores, so therefore they were sinning first, so to say. That's why the worms first came out of his nose. Others say that his nose was the first thing that entered in. The nose is a prominent part of the person's body. That was the first part that entered into the Kodesh Kedoshim, and that's why he was punished in this way. Others disagree with some of these reasonings, but the idea is over here, mido kenegi mido, as the Tosus Rishonim says, that this person was punished in this fashion, that his nose, which smelled the ketores, was in fact the first place that the worms came out. Now, the Eish Omer, that he didn't even survive that long, B'Yitziyaso Nigaf, as soon as he came out, he was already hit by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Tony Ruchia, the Ruchia said, Kemin Kol, Nishma Bazora, there was a sound that was heard in the Azora, Shabo Malach, a Malach came, V'Chavoto Aponim, he gave him a Zetz in his face. V'Nichlitzu Elchav HaKohanim, they went to go and find out what happened to him, U'Motzu Kekaf Regel Egel Ben Ksefa. They saw that there was a circular footprint, so to say, in between his shoulders. In other words, he was given a zetz there by the malach. And it says about the malachim, Shenema ragleim regel yeshora. Their legs are a single straight leg, the kaf ragleim, and the bottom of their leg, kikaf regel egel, is like a rounded part. So therefore, this tztuki kohen gadol had gotten a zetz of the malach and died as soon as he came out of the Beis HaMikdash lufnai v'lufnim. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, Amar Rav Zechariah ben Kvuto v'chule. It says, Rav Zechariah ben Kvuto said what they used to learn. He said he learned Daniel by the Kohen Gadol. So Masel Rav Chanan bar Rava, L'chia bar Rav, when they were learning this, Rav Chanan bar Rava said to Chia bar Rav, and this was in front of Rav Kamei the Rav, and he said, Amar Rabbi Zechariah ben Kvuto. He pronounced it Rav Zechariah ben Kvuto. And Rav, Umach Velei, he showed him, he made motions that it's not Kvuto, Rav Biyodeh, he made motions with his hand that it should be Kivutol. Now, B'nei Melei Meimar, why didn't he just say so? Why did he make these hand signals? So the Gemara says, Kriyashma Havakari, he says, Mitzvah Kriyashma, and he wasn't able to talk. The Gemara says, that's not an answer. V'chi hai gav mishari, you're allowed to make signals in the middle of Kriyashma? V'om Rav Yitzhak bar Shmuel bar Marasa, Rav Yitzhak, who was the son of Shmuel bar Marasa, said, Hakori Yeshma, when you're reading Kriyashma, Lo Yirmos Beinav, you're not allowed to make any sorts of motions with your eyes. Lo Yikros Bisvosav, you're not allowed to make any motions with your lips. In other words, mouthing words without even making sounds. Lo Yoreb Yetzbioso, you're not allowed to make any signals with your hands. The Tanya, furthermore, we learned another brisa, Rav Lo Zechisma said, when you're reading Shema, Kori Shema, if somebody is Merameh's Beinav and he makes motions with his eyes, Makor Yetzbisvosav, or he mouths words with his lips, Umar Yetzbo, or he points out with his fingers about him, all of Akos of Omer, Velo Osi, Karos, or Yaakov. Such a person, I don't call Yaakov. In other words, he's doing something terribly wrong. So how can you tell me that Rav was making motions over here with his hands, mitten the Shema? So Gemara says, Lokash, it's not a problem. Depends which parak you're in. All be parak Rishon, that which he says you're not allowed to make any motions or do anything, that's the more important first parak of Shema, that you need absolute kavan according to many. Harbi Parashani, in the second parak, which is not as high Kedusha, so therefore in that, if there's something pressing need that you have to go and motion or do, that you'd be allowed to do. And Rav was in the middle of the second parash of Kriyashma, he needed to correct them, they were making a mistake. The person has to give over the Masorah in exactly the way it was given. It wasn't Zechariah ben Kvutol, it was Zechariah ben Kvutol, and therefore he needed to change them and tell them to motion that it's not a pay, it's not Kvutol, but it's Kvutol with a vase. The Gemara says, continuing a little bit about Shema, Torah Rabbanon, the Pasuk in Shema says, you shall speak the words of the Torah. So what does that mean, bom? It means in these words, it's a miyat, and not in something else. So bom, speak the words of Kriya Shema out loud, v'lo b'tvila. But the Shemon Esrei, that you have to say silently. Learn this out from the Chana with her tvila. She was moving her lips, but you couldn't hear the voice. Eli thought that she was a shikora as a result. And that's the difference between Shema, which you say in the louder voice, and the Shemon Esrei, which you say in a quieter voice. So, the Barto Bom, Shema, but not in the Shemon Esrei. Alternatively, the Barto Bom, it means Bom, Yesh Lecha Rishus L'daber, Torah, you always have permission to speak Torah, V'lo B'dvar Mechayim, but you shouldn't waste your time speaking Dvarim B'Telem, other things that aren't significant. A person should spend his time learning. Rav Ach Omer, the Dibarto Bam, what does that mean? Aseo son keva, make the Torah learning the key part of your life. That should be what you're speaking about. Al tasa right, and don't make the Torah something minor in your life. That should be your major thing. Similarly, Omer Rava, Hasoch Sichas Chulin over Biaseh. If a person is speaking Sichas Chulin, in other words, he's wasting his time talking Torah and Betalim, so he's over in Aseh, not learning Torah. Shnemar v'dibayr to Bam. Bam, the Lobodor Mechayim. That's what you're supposed to spend your time doing. And Rav Achba Yaakov Omar, over Belav. You're over Lav even. Shnemar kol advarim yigiyim, lo yuchal ish ledaber. All of these things make a person tired. You're not supposed to speak about them. This is from Koheles, and it tells us that wasting your time with idle talk, so that's not the way a person should conduct themselves. We continue with the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Bikesh lehisnam name. If the Kohen Gadol on the night of Yom Kippur is beginning to fall asleep, he's tired, he's starting to fall asleep, so then the Pirchei Kuhuna, the young Kohanim over there, makin lefonav, the Etzbat Srodah, they go and snap their fingers in front of him. The Gemara will explain exactly what the Etzbat Srodah is, but they basically make noise to keep him awake. They snap their fingers in front of him, and they say to him, V'omim lo, Ishi Kohen Gadol. Again, Ishi is a title of respect, my master, the Kohen Gadol. Amod, stand up, V'hofeg, achas al haritzba, and stand up on the ritzba. And this way the cold floor will wake you up. Others suggest that he did some sort of a hishtachavoya there to show us how to do the kiddah, which is a very difficult type of bowing down. So, in other words, they asked him to go and do something that would keep him awake. Well, ma'askin or so, and they keep him busy, achyagiyas mana shchita, until the morning comes, and he can start doing the shchita of the Korban Tomid and start the avoda of Yom Kippur, which Kohen Gadol has to do entirely by himself. Mara starts off and asks, what is this etzba tzreida, my tzreida? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda says, tzorosa deda. Tzreida is a contraction of the words, tzorosa deda, the tzora of this one. Maihi, what does it mean, this one? It means Gadol. So it means the finger that's opposite the Gadol, opposite the thumb. So some suggest it's the pointer finger, others suggest it's the middle finger. Machli Rav Huna, and Rav Huna showed what the tzreida was. Ba'azal kola b'kulei be'rav. He snapped his fingers to show her this way that they would, the Kohan and the Pirchei Kuhuna would keep the Kohen Gadol up, and you could hear that sound all across the entire Beis Medrash. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, Omer lo ishi Kohen Gadol lofeg achas al haritzba b'kulei. Go and stand up on the floor to get rid of your sleepiness, and the cold floor will wake you up. Omer Rav Yitzchok ol chadas. They told him to show us something that is unusual that you can do that nobody else can do. Mahi. So some say Amrilei Achve Kida. He showed them how, they would ask him to show him how to do this Hishtachavoy, this bowing down called Kida, which is a very difficult type of bowing down. Mara tells us that Levi became lame by doing this Kida at one time, and it's a difficult bowing, which you're basically balancing yourself just on your thumbs. So the Hishtachavoya that he would do, they asked him to show us this Kida. If he's able to do so, fine. If not, they would basically just tell him to stand up. Then the Mishnah says, U'ma'askin oso achyagiyas man shchita, and the word v'chule is really in parentheses because there's nothing else there. So they would keep him awake and keep him busy until the morning time when they could start doing the first avod of the day, which is a Korban Tomid, which is the regular Korban Tomid, not specifically an avod of Yom Kippur, but the Kohen Gadol had to do that as well. Tana, we learned in a braisa, lo yomasikin oso b'nevel v'lo v'chino. They wouldn't play musical instruments in front of him. They wouldn't play with him. Nevel is translated as the lyre, and the kinor is like a harp. El b'pet, but they would sing a cappella. They would keep him awake by singing to a cappella. What would they say? So im Hashem lo yivne vayis, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't build a house, this is a passage from Tehillim, shav amlu vona bo, will the people that build it have any success? No, it will all be for naught. Miyakira Yerushalayim lo yishenu kol laila. Likewise, the great people of Yerushalayim, the elders, the chash of the people of Yerushalayim, they would also stay up all night and learn, and their sounds, kidesh yishma kohen gadol kol havora. So he would hear the sounds from all of Yerushalayim, of the Beis Medrash, of the learning going on that night, and that would help keep the Kohen Gadol up as well. Tanya, we're learning in a braisa, Abishol Omar, Abishol told us, Af Begvulim Hayosekin, even outside the Beis Medrash area, outside Yerushalayim, they would also do this. And they would do this, Zeichel Mikdash. In fact, many people have the custom that they learn Mishnayis Yuma on the night of Erev Yom Kippur until they fall asleep. So in other words, we have a Zecha even to this day here in Galus, in Erev Yomeinu, there should be Halacha L'maisa that we should all be learning in Yerushalayim, and not as a Zecha L'mikdosh, but as the actual preparations for the Kohen Gadol not to fall asleep the night of their Avodah. Now, this is what the minhag was, but unfortunately, Elo Sheyuchotim, there were other people that would stay up all night, but Nebuch, they would go do various sins. As the Rashi brings down, last Rashi, Dibur Maso, Elo Sheyuchotim, last line, Mesachakin Anoshim V'Noshim Yachad, Rechmon Elsan, there was a morality, Uboin Laveira, and could lead to an Aveira by staying up, by having these mixed groups staying up, it could Rechmon Elsan lead to an Aveira. Amar Baya Vitema Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Abaya or Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Targum Benardoi, that this Maisa Shahu Chotim occurred in Ardoi. As we learned, the Amale Elio, the Rav Yehuda, that Elio told to Rav Yehuda, who was this Rav Yehuda? He was the brother, Achua, the Rav Salah Chasida, the brother of the great Rav Salah the Chosid. And he said to him, Amrisu, Amailo Osi Moshiach, you ask, why doesn't Moshiach come? So, Vaha, Ha'idna Yom Kippur. The reason why Mashiach doesn't come is because these people on the night of Yom Kippur, what are they doing? The Ibol Kama Bisulta Binardoi Nebuch is leading to a lot of immorality, and a lot of women who previously hadn't had relations, unmarried, they had relations on this night. So Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda responded back to Eliyahu Novi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my Amar. So what does HaKadosh Baruch have to say about this? So Amar Eliyahu, tells him, La Pesach Chatos Rovetz, the famous Pasuk that we have in Bereishis, where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the sin right by the door, right by the Pesach, that's where the sin is going and staying. The Satan, my Omar, so Yehuda asked Elio, no, what does the Satan say about all of this? So Amalei, so Elio says, no, it has nothing to do with the Satan. Satan, the Yom HaTikipure, les le reshusa li astune. The Satan can't be the Satan on Yom Kippur. That's the one day of the year that the Satan's on vacation, so to say. On Yom Kippur, it's just us dealing directly with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's no Satan involved. Where do we see this from? Mimai? So the Gemara says, Ami Rami Bachoma. It's based upon a play on the words that the word Hasatan Bigamatra adds up to be 300 to Los Meya, Vishisan, and 60, Vyarbo Havi. It's 364. Again, the sin is 300. The hay and the test adds up to 5 and 9 is 14, and 50 is 50 plus 14 is 64. So it's 364. So that implies that these 364 of the 365 days of the solar year, the Satan is the Satan. To Los Meya, Vishisan, Abor Yome, Isle, Vishusa, Liastune. For those 364 of the 365 days of the solar year, the Satan has the right to be the Satan. However, B'yom HaTikipuri, on Yom Kippur, however, Lesle Rishusa Liistune. He doesn't have the right to be the Satan on Yom Kippur. So it's us, unfortunately, that are sinning, we're directly sinning against HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, and that's why this is a terrible reason when the people did these immoralities in Ardoi on the night of Yom Kippur. This is what stops the Mashiach from coming. And here in Yomeinu, we should correct all of these sins and be Zoche to learn on the night of Yom Kippur, when they're actually going to be performing the service of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and therefore we stay up to help to keep the Kohen Gadol up at night. With this, we conclude today's share.